You're listening to the Beauty Brain Show, where real scientists answer your beauty questions. And now, here's Randy and Perry.
Welcome to the 107th episode of the Beauty Brain Show. I'm Randy Schuler, and I'm here with my longtime friend and partner in cosmetic science, Percy Romanowski.
Wait, you got my name wrong. It's Perry, not Percy.
Oh, I thought that's what I said. Sorry. Well, anyway, welcome to the show.
You know, that does remind me of my old nickname, Perky.
I had forgotten about that. I very much enjoyed calling you Perky. How did you get that nickname, by the way?
Oh, well, a friend of mine had this shirt that said Perky's Coffee House, and then she just started calling me Perky.
Oh, very good.
She's one of those nickname people, but it's just kind of stuck.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, how do you like my eye today?
Oh my God, you look good. Now you look like you maybe just got punched in the eye a little bit.
Yeah, well, for all the people who are wondering about my face, it's better now. At least my wife won't be worried that my face is going to stay like this, and I can turn that camera back on now, huh?
Just in case you missed it, a couple of weeks ago, Perry was stung in the face by a bee while running the Chicago Marathon, and he had just a tad bit of swelling, so looks good.
Yeah, well, it's all better now, and, you know, I feel a little more confident in my appearance these days.
Oh, we always like to mention that for the chemophiles in the audience. Do you want to explain about Mole Day?
Oh, Mole Day, yeah, that's October 23rd, and that's just a day that chemists celebrate because of Avogadro's number, which is 6.022 times 10 to the 23rd. So, October 23rd, 6.022, we have a big celebration and party.
Well, okay, but do you want to maybe just explain what that means? Just, you know, not everyone in the audience is a chemist. You have to remember that.
Well, that is an excellent point. Well, anyway, Avogadro's number is a way that you count mm-hmm. things. So one mole of a material means there's 6.022 times 10 to the 23rd of those things. So like 12.
Excellent. No less geeky, but much better explained. Thank you.
Well, that's what we do here on the Beauty Brains. We be less geeky and explain better.
Did you party on last week then?
Oh, well, you know what I did do? I made a pie. So, and I know you do that for Pie Day, but I wanted some pumpkin pie, so I actually created a pumpkin pie. It was pretty good.
Wow. Another intriguing slice of life in Perky Romanowski.
And a slice of pie.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about all the traveling you do, and I forgot to ask you if you have ever been to New Zealand or the Czech Republic.
No, I can't say that I have, at least that I know of.
Well, in spirit you have, because our show is heard in both those countries, and this week we had a couple of iTunes reviews. From those far-flung locations. So I thought we would read those today.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
And the reason we take a minute to do this is it's super important to the show. It helps help us grow our audience, helps us attract sponsors. And if any of you listening could just take a couple of seconds and go write an iTunes review, we would appreciate it. And if you do so, we'll give you a quick shout out on the show and read part of what you've written. So today, I'll take the first one. This comes from DAC1 in the Czech Republic, who says, "I like the down-to-earth advice on cosmetic products. Thank you, guys."
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take the next one. Well, Leslie Kingcat says, "I've been listening from New Zealand and has really changed how I shop for personal care items. I'm also part owner of a salon. It's sometimes very hard to give customers honest advice. After listening to a couple episodes of how conditioners work, we're ready to ditch our organic shampoo supplier as it's making unsubstantiated claims. So thanks to Randy and Perry, I've learned a lot of new things relevant to my personal and work life."
Wow, I would never have believed that a salon owner would listen to this show and then decide to get rid of a supplier because they weren't being scientific enough. That's incredible.
Yeah, the influence that we have.
It is. Well, thank you guys both. And thanks to everybody who's been reviewing us on iTunes. As I said, we really appreciate it. So, Perry, we're going to do a beauty science news show this week because I know basically because that's the easiest kind of show to put together. That's why we do these.
They're always fun.
But I wanted to do a quick follow-up from, I think it was last week, when we talked about how to moisturize curly hair.
Yeah, I recall that show.
Very, very popular broadcast, it appears. We've had a lot of comments on that. And so if anybody wants to go and read some of that discussion, go to our blog, thebeautybrains.com, and you can read just about everybody weighed in one form or another on how to moisturize curly hair. But there was an excellent article that I came across I just wanted to mention to people. This was from Glamour. It was in their September 2015 edition, so a recent article. And they were talking about using combing creams to moisturize curly hair, which essentially combing creams are kind of a mix of a detangler with a styling cream. You can kind of think of it that way. But the funny thing is, this article was published recently, and they were talking about combing creams as if they were a brand new invention.
What?
I mean, they said they were just discovered by the founder of Carol's daughter on a recent trip to Brazil.
Boy, that Carol has her hand in everything, huh?
Carol's daughter. That's good. You know, we worked on those, combing creams for mass market brands like Tresemme about 4 years ago. And even then, there were already combing creams on the market. So,
yeah, I personally worked on like four of them.
So it just kind of amused me that, Glamour may not be fully plugged into the hip world of beauty products, which is something we have been accused of. So,
yeah, clearly we are hip and connected.
I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you're interested.
All right, Randy, don't we have one of those, we're doing do some science stories today, right?
Sure. Let me just rebrand this accordingly. What we like to call this is Beauty Science News.
All right. I'll take the first story. You know, Randy, we here at the Beauty Brains love stories of strange ingredients found in beauty products. Remember the story about amniotic fluid, sheep placenta, bird droppings, and snail slime? Well, cosmetic marketers never seem to run out of strange things to add, and here is a story to prove it. The latest craze coming out of India is using cow dung and cow urine in cosmetics. According to the story, these ingredients have been traditionally used in the Ayurvedic medicines, and they are now making their way into cosmetics.
Wait a minute, are we playing improbable products? Because this sounds like something you're making up. That's the fake!
No. Venetesh Abadudo, the founder of the beauty company Vishwa Hindu Parshad.
is that Dennis's brother, by the way?
No, this is not Dennis's brother, at least as far as I know. Anyway, he claims that cow urine can help clear up skin blemishes, and it has the added benefit of developing a new stream of income for farmers across India.
I see what you did there.
Also, researchers in Korea are conducting studies on various cow parts and extractions, and they claim that an extract obtained from cow's placenta is able to regrow hair and treat baldness. They say it's a cheap equivalent to minoxidil. It sounds to me like they are milking these cow ingredients for all they are worth. Quite frankly, I'm unmoved by their claims.
Oh my God.
There may be component ingredients you can get from cows that will help combat skin or hair problems, but I doubt that cow extracts are the best source of these ingredients. This whole thing sounds a bit unbelievable.
Well, thank you, Perry, for that utterly fantastic story.
Actually, it does make me ponder, what will be the next crazy ingredient used in cosmetics? So here are a few predictions. Number one, mammoth extract, an amazing anti-aging ingredient taken from frozen woolly mammoths. All right, how about number two? All right, how about number two?
Yeah.
Maggot mucus.
Sure, I like it.
Using the secretions of maggots to moisturize hair.
And two of my favorite things combined.
Maggots and mucus, sure. And number three, squid ink. People are going to harvest the ink sprayed from squids as the latest new anti-gray hair ingredient. So those are my predictions.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. What about bee venom for eye puffiness? Did we? Oh, wait, we talked about that already.
Clearly that works. That may be the next latest thing.
All right. Well, listen, it is long, long overdue that we've quoted a story from my favorite website, Refinery29.
Yeah, so, I remember them. Actually, you know what?
Well, as a quick aside, what was the topic?
Well, I was doing an interview with them on a topic of, well, I don't really remember, but I'll have a link when it's ready.
Oh, excellent. Well, when that's published, would you come back on the show and talk about it?
We'll see.
Excellent. Well, the article I saw was about hair extensions. So this is it's kind of a follow-up story to something we talked about way back in episode 29. Remember that we busted that myth about hair extensions being made from human corpses?
Oh, yeah, sure, I remember that. Boy, we had all kinds of stories about what you do with dead bodies.
Oh, I didn't even get that. Damn, you are sharp today, my man. It was all those bovine, sharp as a tick? Oh, tack.
Tack, yeah,
wow,
you know.
Wow, wow. This is some of that signature banter that our fans are always clamoring for.
And it's free, totally.
God knows why. Anyway, back in episode 29, we talked about both synthetic and real human hair extensions. And then we talked about the so-called hair collecting companies that make them. And at the time, I remember we warned the listeners about the quality of hair because depending on what source you get and, you know, how much you pay for it, and you can get some really crappy hair for hair extensions or some good stuff. So you got to be really careful in what you buy and how much you pay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that maybe more people needed to listen to that show because according to Refinery29, Rika Ailes, who's the owner of an LA salon chain that specializes in hair extensions, she was recently shocked to find that she spent over $10,000 on hair extensions that were really only worth about $200. Now, Rika became so upset with this that she flew to China to visit the manufacturer, which led her to make a documentary called Just Extensions, which is on the practices of making these things. And she documented her travels not only to China, but also to Cambodia, India, Brazil, and Peru. So the point of her trip was to figure out how hair that's used in extensions was sourced and processed. Again, she could have just listened to the show and saved all that travel expense, but okay. And what she found was quote unquote shocking. So let me make a quote from the article here. And she says, at a Chinese factory, she watched in amazement as workers dumped fallen hair. These are the strands and split ends that flutter off women's heads every day.
Right.
Into buckets where they were soaked in germ killing acid. Later, they were mixed with synthetic fibers to create extensions marketed as Brazilian or Indian hair. Ah. In Brazil, she discovered even horse tails being sold as hair extensions.
Wow, that's a fiber.
So you can check out this documentary for yourselves. We'll put a link in the show notes. But it is a grim reminder that unlike cosmetics, the international sourcing of hair extensions is not very regulated. So let the buyer beware.
Yeah, and you never know what you're going to buy for the hair that you get put in your head. Although, you know, they're all fiber, so as long as they're clean, it probably shouldn't be that big of a deal, though, right?
Granted, but I think it's that anything goes, right? I think her point is I'm paying top dollar for premium human hair, and they're giving me a mix of synthetic and horse hair, like, right? So that was the point.
Right, yeah. I mean, that is kind of a problem. You're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, Randy, are you a victim of science exploitation?
Just working with you every day. I think that's enough.
No, science exploitation. This is the technique that marketers use to sell consumers on new products.
don't start.
No. Anyway, these are anti-aging products. So according to a study published in the Aesthetic Surgery Journal, the official publication of the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, or the ASAPS. Anyway, authors examined the portrayal of stem cell-based cosmetic and anti-aging products and treatments online. And they found that the majority of web pages portrayed stem cell-based products as ready for public use. Yeah, very few substantiated claims with scientific evidence, and even fewer mentioned any risks or limitations associated with stem cells. So stem cell science.
One of the SAPs, okay.
Right. Anyway, here's a quote from people at the Quaestor. They said, some claims were substantiated by clinical studies, celebrities, so-called beauty experts, and medical professionals with phrases like, the only cream with an actual study.
Wait, did you say that some of the claims were substantiated by celebrities?
Yes.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Maybe Dr. Oz, maybe?
Well, but that's a testimonial. That's not like, Jennifer Aniston's doing a test of some sort.
Well, yeah. I mean, you make a good point there. There really aren't many.
Wow.
One of the claims was the only cream with an actual study, and another was, and this product has been rigorously tested for maximum efficacy without explaining the science behind the claims.
If you do consumer testing and have them fill out a questionnaire, yeah, that's a little bit different because you're not relying on one person's opinion, and you can blind the test when you do consumer research. So there's lots of other things that go into it.
Yeah, there is, but it doesn't take much to say that something was like clinically trialed, right? Anyway, the public should be wary of this science-ploitation.
Okay, if that's a verb, all right.
Well, anyway, here are some examples. Mm. So the first is stem cells.
Well, unless they're apple stem cells.
right, apple. You love everything apple, don't you?
Wow. Stem cells don't work. Okay, got it.
Then there's superoxide dismutase, which is an enzyme.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then we have nanoparticles, and pretty much most other types of natural sounding ingredients.
Isn't that nature ploitation? That's not.
Yeah, you do raise a good point there. More. Yeah. Well, anyway, this article points out, don't be a victim of science exploitation.
Very sage advice. Thank you. Hey, I don't know if you recall, but in our most recent book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're
dying That's not a plug. I wasn't trying to get you to read the subtitle. I was just saying in our last book, we answered a question about the straightening product called GK Hair Taming System.
All right.
We wrote this quite a couple of years ago. We were asked about one of their ingredients called, I'll pronounce this wrong, but Juvelin, I think, because it rejuvenates. And the company claimed that this compound is the only protein compound which is scientifically proven to restore hair back to its youthful state.
Oh, that sounds believable.
Not surprising. That's kind of an exaggerated claim because there are many proteins that can be used to treat hair. So, we pointed out in that original post that it was probably the formaldehyde that's in that hair care product that's doing the straightening, not this, magical rejuvenating protein.
Yeah, that works.
Well, the FDA seems to have caught up with these guys, and they tested some of their products, and they found that this GK hair taming system does indeed release formaldehyde when used, according to the package directions. But the company doesn't include the proper warning statements, and that makes the product a misbranded cosmetic, so it's subject to seizure, fines, etc., etc. This is all in the unregulated cosmetic industry.
Right.
This, of course, if anybody's keeping score at home, falls under Section 301A of the FTC Act, which is Title 21.
Oh, that just sounds like a little light reading for the weekend, right?
Perry says light reading, that's code for bathroom reading, right?
Well, maybe.
So the product does contain methylene glycol, which is a formaldehyde releasing agent. So formaldehyde doesn't appear in the ingredient list, but the product does have a warning the product releases formaldehyde. So they did go that far. But what they didn't do, according to the FDA, was give enough additional information to customers about the effects of that formaldehyde release, that it can have, short-term and long-term health effects, anything from eye and throat irritation to headaches to chest pain and even causing certain kind of cancers. So
wow.
If you're releasing formaldehyde at a certain level, you need to have these full warning statements on the product. So the FDA has basically said, you know, that the company is thinks they can get away with this because they're treating it as if it's only for use in the salon, but it's actually for sale on the internet too.
Yeah.
You know, so anybody could be buying this product and not getting the right warning statements. So the FDA says, hey, look, you know, you've got to change your labeling. That's not really much more than a slap on the wrist, but at least it does show that even for cosmetic products like this, the FDA is on the watch.
Yeah, you can't be too small and stay under the radar for too long anyway. I'll take the next story. You know, I was reading Elle magazine and saw they reported on the fact that Google released a list of the most common beauty questions searched for around the world. Did you get a chance to see this list put out by Google?
Yeah, I'm kind of more of a Bing guy myself. I don't know.
You mean Crosby? Of course you're a Bing guy. Well, anyway, I thought it would be fun if we went through some of these questions and we took a Beauty Brains answer on some of the most asked questions around the world. So,
I didn't really prepare.
Well, that wouldn't be like any other show.
Nice.
All right. Anyway, let's go through some of these. In France, the top question to Google was, when does makeup expire?
Oh, Tuesday. That's easy.
Well, probably not Tuesday. But anyway, I think we've covered that question before. Basically, most personal care products are designed to last about a year. Color cosmetics that go around the eye should probably be tossed out after about 6 months. Now, but it really depends on the product.
Right.
Now, in Brazil, the number one beauty question is, how often should you shampoo hair?
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say back in 2005 when you got a Brazilian.
No, I think that's something else. Although, it might not be a bad idea for a hair stuff.
Well, you're weird.
Hey, this does remember back in 2005 when I had the most shampooed head in America?
I remember it well.
I think what that demonstrated, though, is that you really can't wash your hair too much. So if you like it to be clean, wash it every day. If you don't, you know, wash it as often as you like.
Yeah, it's that kind of helpful answer that's going to drive us right to the top of the Google rankings.
Hey, you know, we are professionals.
Hmm.
All right, the next one is in Australia. The top question is it bad to sleep with wet hair?
You might catch cold.
Well, yeah, especially in the Australian outback.
Really?
All right, just a couple more.
Thank God.
In South Korea, the question is foundation bad for acne?
Oh, well, that would depend on if it contains any ingredients that contribute to comedogenicity.
Exactly. Of course, that's not what they said in Elle magazine, but it wasn't written by scientists. All right. In India, they want to know...
Cow urine. Do it.
No. In India, they want to know which vitamins are good for hair and skin.
Oh, common question.
Yeah, I guess that would be vitamin A for skin and
vitamin... Yeah, the answer is...
Well, yeah.
None, almost. I mean, right. You get this...
Well, that was my first reaction, but, you know, there's some evidence. Vitamin B...
Yeah, well, yeah, that's good.
For
that's
A
good.
For skin and vitamin B12 for hair.
B5, you know, panthenol is, you know, got some benefits. B5. I was being a little flippant, there's some benefit, but...
Someday we should go through and publish our most frequently asked beauty questions here on the Beauty Brains, right? Oh, wait, we already did that. You can read about it in our latest book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know. Are we back now to doing the book plugs? I thought we weren't going to do this anymore.
Well, you had mentioned one earlier, and, you know.
I told you that was a non-plug. All right. Hey, let me just change things up a little bit and ask you this. Is the Look Good, Feel Better program giving you cancer?
Geez, I hope not.
Well, let me tell you the story of two programs designed to help women with cancer. So first, there's the one I just mentioned, the Look Good, Feel Better program. It's a public service program that helps cancer patients keep their self-esteem by teaching them beauty techniques to counteract the effects of cancer treatments.
That's good.
And this is a combined effort from the Personal Care Products Council, the American Cancer Society, and the Professional Beauty Association. So that's program number one.
Right.
Program number two is a group from a group called Breast Cancer Action, and they are a consumer activist group whose mission is to, quote, address the root causes of the disease and produce broad public health benefits. And their core values include honesty, fearlessness, and truth-telling, and transparency and accountability for ourselves and others. So these both sound like very beneficial programs.
They sound excellent.
And even though both are intended to benefit women, there's a conflict that's arisen.
Really?
And that conflict is over the beauty products, which the Look Good, Feel Better program provides to cancer patients. So these products come from companies like Avon and Estee Lauder, so some of the, you know, industry bigwigs.
Reputable.
But according
companies.
To BCA, to Breast Cancer Action, these companies are actually selling products which are, quote, notoriously full of toxins.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, have you heard that before?
Oh, not more than
so
once.
So specifically, the BCA is concerned about parabens, formaldehyde releasers, fragrance, and Teflon, which is PTFE for short. So, you know, the Personal Care Products Council, which is a lobbying group for the industry, was quick to refute these allegations and point out that, first of all, methyl and propylparaben, the preservatives, have been given a clean bill of health. And we've been over this time and time again. This seems to be one of the most persistent myths out there right now in terms of related to the safety of cosmetic ingredients. People just refuse to, you know,
yeah,
well, the issue refuses to die that parabens are dangerous, right? People still believe it to this day.
It's
and the BCA doesn't seem to be helping. And the same thing is true for formaldehyde releasers when they're used at approved levels. Now, when formaldehyde is used at too high of a level without the appropriate warning statements, we've just seen an example of where the FDA clamps down on that.
Right, right.
But at low levels, especially from preservatives, it's really fine. So, you know, if the BCA is really concerned about these ingredients, maybe they should turn their attention to the food industry. You know, methylparaben is commonly used as a food-grade preservative, but you don't hear many complaints about that, which seems strange since directly ingesting it rather than rubbing it on your skin would seem to cause even more problems. But that seems to be fine, so I don't know. It seems to be they're a little misdirected.
Yeah, no kidding.
Finally, the BCA said, you know, again, that the cosmetic industry is unregulated. And they said that the Personal Care Products Council spends millions of dollars a year lobbying against cosmetic safety regulations.
What?
Which was kind of strange. I mean, I don't know where they spend their, you know, their dollars on lobbying, but we know, we just talked about this in episode 81, there's another show number for you.
Nice.
That the Personal Care Products, the PCPC has come out in favor of the new legislation called the Personal Care Product Safety Act. They said they'll stand up behind that.
Yeah, I don't get
so
it.
This idea that they're against all regulations is just patently untrue. So
yeah, it's just ridiculous. This whole NGOs, they're just...
Exactly. So anyway, it's just disturbing to me that an organization like this that's clearly well-intended would just kind of run off and have such an anti-science bias in what they're doing when this bias can end up hurting the women who are, you know, currently benefiting from the Look Good, Feel Better program.
Yeah. It's not surprising me. And then they have this honesty thing. If they were honest, they would point out that parabens have been shown to be safe, but they never do that.
Well, you just, yeah, and
they don't care about evidence. They really don't care about whether something is shown scientifically true.
Exactly.
Or not.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. All right. Well, we are about out of time, but before we wrap up, yeah, I always I enjoy the little portion of the show that's sort of, you know, Perry's book corner. Are we going to do that today?
Yeah. I just finished reading my 46th book of the year.
You count how many books you read.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got a spreadsheet.
Okay, just stop.
Everything.
Just
anyway,
stop. I can't even listen to this.
Anyway, the truth is that I don't actually read books. I just listen to them. But they're great for when you're doing work around the house and listening.
Mm-hmm. The book's so heavy.
Exactly. And, you know, actually, I read a book that was based on a movie. The movie was Atonement. Now, I don't count watching movies is the same as reading a book.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's just different. But I do read the unabridged version. Anyway, the Beauty Brains has teamed up with Audible to bring you a special offer. If you sign up with them using the link audibletrial.com/beautybrains, you can download a free audiobook and support our show. You can get Atonement or most any other book as your first free audiobook. You just sign up through our link, audibletrial.com/beautybrains, for a 30-day trial, which you can cancel at any time, and then you still get to keep the free audiobook. So go to audibletrial.com/beautybrains today and see how many books you can listen to next year.
Thank you. It sounds too good to be true. Is that legal? Can we really do that?
Yeah, it's legal.
All right, very good. Okay, Perry, once again, we've wasted another half an hour, so we'd like to thank everybody for sticking with us, and thank you for those great stories.
And don't forget to like us on social media, like follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Are we on LinkedIn, too? Anyway, follow us.
Yeah, all that good stuff. All right. Well, until next week, just let me remind you, we are the Beauty Brains, Randy Schuler and Percy Romanowski, and until we talk to you next time, be brainy about your beauty.
I'm gonna see the cow beneath the sea.